want to welcome everybody again to the yahrzeit of my father-in-law, Rabbi Yaakov ben Chaim Yosef ben Yamini, zichrono lebracha. There are a few technical problems with my handout, which are just small problems in response to Menashe Hakstad. Ada Sheni is there because I used my form from last year and didn't notice it until somebody told me about it. I absolutely didn't see it in proofreading it, and from now on I'll use Menashe as a proofreader. He says he's very good at it. He'll be my editor. The other technical problem, besides that, I have Gemara here, Gemara Gittin, Samach Amud Beis. And the technical problem there is simply that the machine, I couldn't get the machine to copy the top where the page number is, and at the same time reduce it because Rabbi Wasserman wasn't there to show me how to use the machine. So that's a small thing. And then finally, the staples might be in the wrong place and you can't see something in the corner that's critical. If you want, rip them apart. I can always staple it together. You'll just hear me read it. And finally, you know, when I work on the one thing about these yahrzeits is they motivate me. You know, if you're going to talk in front of a bunch of people, you have to say something coherent. So it sort of motivates me to work a topic over, and then it suddenly takes on a life of its own, and it just keeps going. So when I'm putting the book together, I just said, well, you know, I really started with the Gemara. On page, I don't know what our page is here, but on page two, I don't have good page numbers here. On page 21 is where I started, and that's the Gemara Gittin Daf Samach Amud Beis. And then I learned with my Rebbe, my private Rebbe Jay Miller, Perek. Samaches of the Netziv in his Sefer Teferet Yisrael. The Maharal. So what I have in this pamphlet are two Rambams, a Netziv, the Gemara Gittin, and the Maharal. And the Rambams I added as an afterthought, and the more I thought about it, the more it seemed that I needed them. I just couldn't see a way around it, and it may be that we won't get to the Gemara or to the Maharal, I don't know, but if not, if anyone wants to finish this with me, you're more than welcome to. But it seemed to all fit together into my way of thinking, simply as an introduction to the topic of Torah Sheba'al Peh, which I will forever have a greater respect for after having done just the preparation for this talk. So, again, I would like to thank publicly Rabbi Jay Miller, who's not here tonight, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein Zatzal, who taught me this Netziv that I quoted, and of course, my continued thanks to Rabbi Wasserman and Rabbi Love, with whom I had the opportunity to study a lot of Torah with, and who have had an enormous influence on me. So I want to just mention, I've said it before, the first words of Torah that I ever heard was from Rabbi Gilbert Klapperman. And although I could never assimilate the totality of what he had to say at the age of 11, 12, 13, 14, but the sense of the man, the Ish, his wonderful ability to present Torah as the fundamental factor in our lives, he made it modern and up to date, and he did it eloquently. And that image, that feeling will always, that memory of Rabbi Klapperman will always be with me. And I might say it's a motivation for all of us to be careful in our conduct. We never know how we influence people. We never know, you know, just by the way you pick up a cup of coffee, might somebody might remember something, or the way you said something, just little things. And by the way, that is also connected with Torah Sheba'al Peh, that you have to be with your Rebbe, you have to be Mishamish your Rebbe, you have to observe him. So, as opposed to Rabbi Klapperman, my father-in-law, Rabbi Yaakov Benjamini, was a storyteller. He was still from Europe, and he thought in Yiddish, and he always was dealing with Midrashim, full of stories, and he told them all. He was never critical of others, except for outright villains like Khrushchev at the time and Arafat, and the cowboys with the black hats. And I mean the cowboys with the black hats, not the Jews with the black hats. Because if you remember your Westerns, the white hat and the white horse was the good guy, and the black horse and the black hat were the bad guy, except I think for Gene Autry. I think he had a black hat. You can check it out. So, as for me, in my early years of marriage, it was Rabbi Klapperman and then my father-in-law, Rabbi Benjamini, who were the pillars of my Jewish world. And really, that was my structure. That was what I came into Torah with. And it's just important for all of us to realize that these personal influences are ever so important. So we're going to begin on page one with Pirkei Avos. You'll look on with Bubby. And Kol Yisrael, we're going to start with Aleph. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai Umasara LeYehoshua. Moshe received the Torah at Sinai and he handed it over. The word Masorah is there to Yehoshua. Yehoshua l'Zakenim. Yehoshua handed the Torah over to the Zakenim. The Zakenim l'Navi'im. U'Navi'im Masaruha l'Anshei Knesset Gadola. The prophets handed over the Torah to the members of the Great Assembly, the Sanhedrin. And Hem Amru Shlosha Devarim. What I'm interested in here, specifically in Pirkei Avot, is the inception of the Torah and how it was handed on from generation to generation. And it's obvious that in Pirkei Avot here, they're not trying to be exhaustive, but it's meant to give you a sense of that transmission and of the, I believe, the intimate nature and way that the Torah was transmitted from one generation to another. And in fact, I will tell you that these words of Pirkei Avot, when I heard them as a little boy, when I was young, but eventually they echoed in my ears, and it may have taken years to really understand them. But when I saw it happen in my own life, and I've said, you know, now I'm beginning to understand what this first sentence in Pirkei Avot was all about. At first I thought it was just a trivial thing, a little introduction, but it's really the basis of everything we're going to say tonight. What I have on page 3, and then translated on page 4, is a book by called the Sefer HaKabbalah by I keep forgetting his name. I think it's David Ibn Daud. Is it David or Abraham Ibn Daud? He's also called the Raivad, but not the same Raivad who had a polemic with the Rambam. He lived a little earlier than the Rambam, in around 1150s and thereabouts. And I guess we can go to the English for a minute to see. He says the purpose of this book of tradition is to provide students with the evidence that all the teachings of our rabbis of blessed memory, namely the sages of the Mishnah and the Talmud, have been transmitted. each great sage and righteous man having received them from a great sage and righteous man. And he goes on to say, never did the sages of the Talmud teach anything, however trivial, of their own invention, except for the enactments which were made by universal agreement in order to make a hedge about the Torah. And in this Sefer HaGabalah, he continues to enumerate the transmission of Torah in minute detail through the centuries, up until his own time in Spain in the 1100s. Most important that, here is, we come to page 5 in the Rambam, and our Rambam is always our favorite. This is his Hakdama to the Mishneh Torah. That's his great work on Halacha. And he begins, Kol HaMitzvot Shenitlu LeMoshe MiSinai BePerushan Nitnu. That when these mitzvos were given by God to Moshe at Sinai, they were given with their perushan, with their perush, with the explanation of what these mitzvos were. Shenema, as it says in the Torah, ve'etna lecha et luchot ta'aven v'ha'torah v'ha'mitzvah. So the Rambam goes on to explain what are these three words that are used in a technical sense here in the Torah, according to the Rambam. Torah zu Torah shebichtav. Torah is Torah shebichtav. Torah is the written Torah. V'ha mitzvah, it means the zu perusha. This is the explanation of the Torah shebichtav. V'tzivanu la'asot Torah al pi ha mitzvah. And God commanded us to do the Torah according to the mitzvah. In other words, you have the written text. Now, what do you do with it? Well, you have to have the perush, the oral tradition explaining what to do. U'mitzvah zu, this mitzvah, he nikrei Torah sheba'al peh. This is what we call the oral law. Ba'al peh, literally, in your mouth, or the owner, I don't know how to translate it, even literally, by heart. Okay. Kol HaTorah Ketava Moshe Rabbeinu Kodem Sheyamut Bichtav Yado. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the entire Torah with his own hand. V'natan Sefer L'chol Shevet V'Shevet V'Sefer Echad Netanuhu Ba'aron La'ed. So he wrote a Sefer Torah for each tribe in Israel, that means 12 of them, if I count correctly, plus he wrote another one for the Aron, where the Luchot HaBrit, the Shnei Luchot that he received from the two tablets were placed. Shenemaz, it says, Lakoach et Sefer Torah Hazeh, V'samta Oto, you'll take this Sefer Torah and put it in the Aron HaBrit. V'yasham b'chal la'ed, and it will stay there for you as a witness. V'amitzvah, again that word, we're not going to translate that as commandment in this part of the Rambam. Shehi perush haTorah, this is the explanation of the Torah, lo ketava, that was not written. El etziva ba'ala zakenim li'yehoshua v'lishah kol Yisrael. So just as we saw in Pirkei Avos, this perush was commanded was handed over to the Zakenim and to Yehoshua and to the rest of Bnei Yisrael. Now, actually, I gave away my thunder here, because if you stop and think of Pirkei Avot, where it says Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Right? And he handed it on to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua to the Zakenim. So what does that mean? If you would have thought of it, well, it didn't mean that he took a Sefer Torah and handed it on to the next person. Did it mean that? It couldn't have meant that. And that each one took the physical Sefer Torah and handed it on to the next one. So obviously, in Pirkei Avot, it's talking about Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's a very important point. And so the Rambam goes on. At Kor, I'm on line 10 now. At Kor HaDava Asher Anochi Matzaveh Etchem, line 10 on page 5. At Kor HaDava Asher Anochi Matzaveh Etchem Ha'oto Tishmeru La'asot. Everything that I command you today, you should guard in order to do it properly. And because of this, this transmission of the Torah is called Torah, the oral law, Torah Sheba'al Peh. Afal pi shalom nechtava Torah Sheba'al Peh, even though the Torah Sheba'al Peh was not written, I'm on line 12, limda Moshe Rabbeinu kula b'veit dino, l'shivim zakenim. So Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the 70 elders in his court of assembly, which was the Sanhedrin. Elazar was the son of Aharon, and Pinchas was the grandson of Aharon. Yehoshua shalashtam kiblu Moshe. The three of them received this oral transmission directly from Moshe. Yehoshua shehu talmido shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua, because he was the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, masa Torah sheba'al peh v'tzivahu aleha. He handed on the Torah sheba'al peh to the next generation and commanded, made pronouncements about it. V'chein Yehoshua kol yemei chayav limed al peh, and all of the life of Yehoshua he learned orally. Uzkeinim rabim kiblu miYehoshua, and the zakeinim received from Yehoshua. V'kibel eli min hazakeinim, eli the hakohen and Sefer Shmuel received from the elders, mi Pinchas and from Pinchas. Ushmuel kibel me eli, the navi, the prophet Shmuel and the Sefer Shmuel received the oral law from Eli, Ubeit Dino, and from his court of assembly. V'David kibel mishmuel Ubeit Dino, and David received the oral tradition from Shmuel. Okay. That's pretty good. We go to page 8. The Rambam has a second rendition of the way the Torah was originally transmitted to Bnei Yisrael at the inception. And this is his Hakdama to the Mishnah, his preface to the Mishnah. And he says as follows. Da, you should know, ki kol ha-mitzvah she-natan ha-kodesh baruch hu le-Moshe Rabbeinu, alav ha-shalom, natna lo b'peirusha. That, now here the Rambam's using the word mitzvah in a different sense. He means commandment, means the written law. He says every commandment in the written law that God gave to Moshe, he gave with the explanation of that commandment. Haya omer lo ha-mitzvah, he would say the mitzvah, the commandment. V'yachakach omer lo peirusha. And afterwards, he would explain the peirush of the explanation of the mitzvah. V'chol ma'asher hu kolel sefer ha-Torah. And everything, he would explain everything that was included in the Sefer Torah. We're running out of chairs? Alright. V'inyan limudo li Yisrael haya kafisha omalach. And the way, the specific way that Moshe taught the Torah to Bnei Yisrael is as follows. I'm at the bottom of page 18. No, page 8. Haya Moshe nechnas ba'aholo. Moshe would go into his tent, into his special tent. V'nechnas elav b'tchila aharon. Asher l'daber gam kein b'ivrit akshav. Nachon. He would enter, Aharon would come into the tent with Moshe. Moshe haya omer lo ha-mitzvah ha-nutuna lo pa'amachat v'limda hu perusha. So Moshe would teach Aaron one mitzvah, and then he would give the perush of it. Now you'll see the Rambam here is much more minute and specific in explaining the transmission than he was in the earlier Hakdama. V'yistalek Aaron v'yachazor liyamin Moshe Rabbeinu. After Aaron would learn this mitzvah, or maybe a series of mitzvot, he would get up and he would move to the right of Moshe. V'nichnasu acharav el azav itamah banav. And after that, the sons of Aharon, el azav itamah, would come in and they would sit down in front of Moshe. V'yam Moshe omer lehem masha amar la'aharon. And then Moshe would say to the sons of Aharon just what he explained to Aharon, v'yistalaku, and they would get up and move aside. V'yeshev ha'echad l'smol, and one would go to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'asheni, and the second one, liyamin Aharon. And the other one would go to the right of Aharon. And v'yacharechen yaba'u shivim zekeinim. So now there's Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon and his two sons. And now the 70 elders come in to the tent, to Moshe's tent. V'yelamdei Moshe k'moshe limed l'Aharon uvanav. And then, so Moshe would again repeat the exact same thing that he was teaching, whatever the mitzvah was that he was, maybe Shemitah, whatever it was, whatever inyan he was dealing with, he would teach. And then repeat it. So he repeated it to Aharon, he repeated it to his sons, and he repeated it to the Zakenim. V'acharechein yavo hamon v'chol mevakesh Hashem. And then after the Zakenim, the vast majority of people, maybe it wasn't, couldn't have been everybody, but whoever sought out the word of God, people who wanted to learn, came in. V'yasem lefnehem ha-mitzvah hi ad sheyishmu ha-kol mipiv. And he would go through the same process and teach the mitzvah for the fourth time. Nimsad follows. Aharon shomei ha-mitzvah hi mipi Moshe arba'a pa'amim. Aharon heard the mitzvah repeated by Moshe four times. Uvanav shlosh pa'amim. His sons heard it three times, if you follow the progression. V'hazakenim shtei pa'amim. And the elders heard it two times. Usha'am, and the rest of the people, pa'amachat, once. So then, after this progression, v'yistalek Moshe, Moshe removed himself from the scene, I don't know if that means he went out of the tent, v'chaza Aharon, and Aharon came back, l'faresh ha-mitzvah ha-hi asher amad, and he in turn taught this same mitzvah, Sheshema mipi Moshe arba pa'amim, which he heard four times from Moshe, k'moshe amanu, al ha-nimtza'im. So Moshe taught the halacha once to everybody, it would seem. V'yistalek Aharon mi'itam, and then Aharon would depart, acharei sheshamu banav ha-mitzvah arba pa'amim, and now his sons had heard this same mitzvah repeated four times. Shilosh mipi Moshe, v'achat mipi Aharon. They heard it three times from Moshe, and one time from their father Aharon. V'chozrim el azav itamah, and they took the podium. Achareishin is talek Aharon. After Aharon left, lamed ha-mitzvah ahi l'chol ha'am ha-nimtza'im. And they taught this same mitzvah to everybody who was still there. V'nistal kumi l'lamdam. And then they departed when they finished. Nimtzu shivim hazakenim shomim ha-mitzvah arba pa'amim. So by this time, the 70 elders had heard the halacha repeated four times. Shtayim mipi Moshe, they heard it twice from Moshe. V'yachat mipi Aharon, once from Aharon. V'yachat mipi el-azah v'itamah, and they heard it once from el-azah and itamah. V'chozrim hazakenim gam heim achar kach l'horot ha-mitzvah l'hamon ha-am pa'amachat. So they, in turn, went to the people and maybe taught them in groups, individually. I don't know exactly how they did it. They taught the Torah, this particular mitzvah to the people once. Nimtzu, therefore follows, Kol ha-ka'al shomim ha-mitzvah ha-hi arba pa'amim. That everybody, the hamon am, heard the mitzvah four times. Pa'ami pi Moshe, they heard it once from Moshe. Pa'ami pi Aaron, once from Aharon, shlishit mi pi banav, the third time they heard it from his sons, uravi'it mi pi azakenim, and the fourth time they heard it from the zakenim. V'yachakein hayu kol ha'am hochim l'lamed ish la'achiv, and then whoever understood the mitzvah went out to teach his neighbor, ma shesham'u mi pi Moshe, Mekotvim ha-mitzvah hi b'megilot. And this mitzvah from the Torah, they wrote in Megillot, in scrolls. So now if you just jump down a few lines, we're still on page 9. Let's say line 28 in the middle. Bahayu kodvim ha-mitzvah. They would write the mitzvah lomdim al peh ha-kabbalah. And they would learn the explanation of the mitzvah orally. V'chein amru rabotenu zal b'braita. And it says in one of the midrashei halacha, which the Rambam here calls a braita, by the Abaya, it's a sefroa in Bamidbar, I believe. By the Abaya Hashem El Moshe Bahar Sinai. No, it's by Yikra, right there. It tells you. I think we're in Bahar. So, v'yedaber Hashem el Moshe b'har Sinai, that's how the chapter begins, that God spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. So the halacha midrash says, the midrash halacha says, ma talmud lomar b'har Sinai, just as the Torah text says Har Sinai, v'halo kol ha-Torah kulav, ne'emra m'Sinai? Are you telling me that the entire Torah was given at Sinai? But it's to tell you, Mash Shemitah ne'emra b'chlaleha u'prateha v'dikdukeha mi-Sinai, just as the halachot of Shemitah are taught in their generalities and in their details at Sinai, as you will find in Parsha Bahar, af kol ha-mitzvah ne'emru k'laleha b'rateha v'dikdukeha mi-Sinai. So we will make the inference, even though the Torah does not give us multiple, I won't say there aren't any more examples, but the Torah is not exhaustive. In other words, if we have at least a minimum of 613 mitzvos deraisa, we don't have all of the oral explanations of that in the Torah text. And yet in Sefer Bahar, we have an example of klaleha, the general principles of a halacha, and then the prateha, the specific details of the halacha. And then the midrash halacha makes an inference that this was done throughout the entire Torah, that for every detail of halacha that was given in the text, it was explained orally. And I'll give you an example. Hine lecha mashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar Moshe. God said to Moshe, B'sukot teshvu shivat yamim. You will sit in Sukkot 7 days, right? Achaka chodiya shehu sukkah hazot chova al hazacharim v'lo al nakevot. And afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu was informed that the mitzvah of Sukkah is incumbent, is an obligation for males and not for females. V'she'ein hacholim chayavim ba. And that if you're sick, you're also not required to go into the sukkah. V'lo holchei derech. And if you're on the road, if you're traveling on business or whatever, you're also not required to sit in the sukkah. V'shelo yesiku cha ela b'tzemach ha'aretz. And that the schach, the covering of the sukkah, should not be made out of anything except that was grown from the earth. V'lo yisak Nena b'tzema, that you shouldn't make the schach, the covering of the sukkah, out of wool. V'lo b'meshi, not out of silk. V'lo b'kelim, and not out of man-made utensils. Afilu ka'asher tatzmiach ha'aretz, even if it originally grew from the ground, kagon. For example, ha'ksatot v'ha'karim v'ha'begadim, like pillows and clothing, that may be made out of flax, for instance, out of substances grown from the ground, but they're man-made and they shouldn't be used for schach. V'hodiya sheha'achila v'hashtiya v'hashena ba kol shiva chova, that eating and drinking and sleeping in the sukkah is a requirement for all 7 days of the sukkah, of sukkahs. V'shelo yeh b'chalala pachot mi shiva tefachim orech al shiva tefachim rochav, that the dimensions of the sukkah should not be less than 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. V'shelo yeh gova ha-sukkah pachod me'asarat tefachim, that the sukkah should not be higher. Shorter? That the height of the sukkah should not be less than 10 tefachim, because bahanavi, and when the navi came, alav shalom, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, nitna lo ha mitzvah hazot uperusha, that all of this concerning the mitzvah of sukkah was given to Moshe by Hashem, v'chein hashesh meot ushlosh Esrei mitzvot, and likewise with all 613 mitzvot that are in the Torah, Haim uperusham, them and their explanation, ha mitzvot biktav, the mitzvot were given in writing, that's the Sefer Torah that we have, uperush al peh, and the explanation was given orally. Okay, I found, actually quite by accident, by listening to Rabbi Bernstein in the car, a beautiful nesiv that just locks in with this explanation by the Rambam of how Torah Shebaal Peh began with our receiving of Torah Shebichtav. So, if you'll look at page 14, 15, and 16, we're going to end up on page 16, but I want you to see the text of the Torah. We're in Parsha Yitro. I was studying Parsha Yitro. Actually, I never got to this week's Parsha yet. But look at how this reads, and I don't want to analyze it in detail except for the purposes at hand, but I think it'll be enough for us. Umosha, you'll see where I have Gimel circled on page 14. Umosha Allah El Ha'olokim. Moshe went up to God, v'yikra elav Hashem min ha'har, and God called to him from the har, from the mountain, le'mor, to say, ko toma levet Yaakov v'tageid levnei Yisrael. So shall you say to the house of Jacob, and you will tell to b'nei Yisrael, to the children of Israel. Yes? Then there's some more conversation by God to Moshe here on page 15. And then the last sentence on page 15, just so I can read a whole pasuk. V'atem tiyu li mamlechet kohanim. You will be to me a nation of, a princely nation, a nation of kohanim. V'goy kadosh, now I can't read it, v'goy kadosh, and then continues the sentence, Eila hadivrim asher tedaber el b'nei Yisrael. These are the things that you will say to b'nei Yisrael. So note, in the beginning on page 14, we had the words, Kotom alevet Yaakov v'tageid l'v'nei Yisrael. So shall you say to Yaakov, and tell B'nai Yisrael, and then at the end of this section of a few lines, it says, Eila hadavarim asher tedaber al B'nai Yisrael. What's going on here? Let's look at what the Nesiv says and how beautifully he explains this. On page 16, Eila hadavarim Tanya b'mechilta. We learn in the Mechilta. Now we're on line 1 on page 16. I think that's clear to everybody. Anyone gets lost, I'm going to go a little fast here, but if you get lost in the Netziv, I'm more than welcome to review it with me privately, you know, at a later date. Eloha devarim, tanya b'mechilta shalo tefachot velo tosif. When you see the words Eila Hadavarim, it means you can't add, you can't take away. Moshe, I want you to say the words, these words, exactly as I am saying them. Okay? Perush, the explanation of this, Levad HaHezber SheYiyeh L'Chol Echad L'Fi Kocho Kamo SheYikdim Kamo Toma Levet Yaakov V'Tageid Livnei Yisrael. Those lines that we saw on page 14, he means you're going to say that, Moshe, I want you to talk to Beit Yaakov, and I want you to talk to Bnei Yisrael. And Beit Yaakov may mean something different than Bnei Yisrael. Beit Yaakov may mean the women and children. Bnei Yisrael may be the Rov Ha'am. And you're going to speak to each one differently, in a way that's suitable to them. And you're going to improvise, Moshe. It's going to come from you. It's going to be your words. But here on this page 16, Eila Hadavarim Asher Tadaber Al Bnei Yisrael, the Netziv tells us that's exactly what you're going to say, Moshe. You're not going to add to it. You're not going to subtract from it. Line 5, Aval Deva Hashem Kaasher Hema Tadaber Levnei Yisrael, Kaasher Hema Tadaber Levnei Yisrael Hainu Lechulam B'Shaveh B'Li Geraon B'Hosafa. That when you speak these words of mine, you're not going to add to them, you're not going to subtract from them. Everyone's going to hear the same words equally, no matter who they are. And we have the same commandment throughout the chapters of the Torah, Dichtiv, as it says, and we find this phrase very often in the Torah, Daber el b'nei Yisrael. I'm on line 8. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the b'nei Yisrael, v'yamata aleihem, and say to them. So here's how he understands it. He explains in Sefer Vayikra, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, we're in Sefer Shemos now, right? So he explains, I looked at his parish there in Vayikra, he says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, Hu ha-pasha ka'asher hu diber Hashem. When it says daber, that means that's the pasha. Those are the words of the Torah. Ve'achakach v'yamata aleihem. When the Torah says v'yamata aleihem, haynu ha-be'ur b'torah sheba'al peh. That means now, Moshe, you're going to give the be'ur the explanation sheba'al peh. K'mavu'a sham hokacha l'zeh ha-peirush. And as I prove there in my peirush, Ella Hanishtana Seda Hatsivui Papasha Zumi. But I have a problem that in this Pasha here in Sefer Shemos, we reverse the order. Shinishtana Seda Hatsivui Papasha Zu. Shmiba Bakola Parshiot. Again, so if you look at the Netziv, where was I online? You know, it's so small, I hate it. But when it says Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamata aleihem, so remember that order. And now if you look at line on page 14, here he says instead of v'yamata aleihem, he has ko toma levet Yaakov v'taged l'v'nei Yisrael. That's equivalent to v'yamata aleihem. And then later on, after about 4 or 5 lines, he says, Eila hadavrim asher tadaber, tadaber el b'nei Yisrael. So the order is reversed. First, you're going to give the peirush in your own words, and then you're going to tell them exactly what I'm saying, Moshe. And in the rest of the Torah, the order is reversed. So the Netziv finds this a very interesting discrepancy, and he's going to learn something from it. Let's see where I am. Who remembers? Okay, on line 15, V'kan k'tiv lehefech, at the end of 14 and then 15. Here we have the opposite. V'tamo shel davar, the reason for this is who? Al pisha yivu'a lefaneinu b'mikra. We learn in the text here in this parsha, Yud Tes, shekodem matan Torah hayad davar Hashem, Hashchina medaberet migrono shel Moshe. That before Matan Torah, God spoke to Bnei Yisrael through the throat of Moshe. Okay? Hashchina medaberet migrono shel Moshe. Okay? Shchina is feminine, medaberet. That works. V'nishma lechol Yisrael. And it was heard, it was so loud because it was Dvar Hashem, it could be heard by everybody. Masha ain kain beyu ha-pasha shehu devar Moshe. But when Moshe talked himself, he couldn't project as loud as God did. However, he did. It was done. So his peirush, if he gave a peirush, could not be heard by all of Klal Yisrael at once. לא היה נשמע לכל ישראל, אלא מדבר לזקנים, והמה לישראל. So then, Moshe would first give a perush to the zakenim, and then they in turn would give the perush to Bnei Yisrael. V'yachar matan Torah, after matan Torah, afilu daber Moshe, he gave lachol Yisrael. Even after matan Torah, even when Moshe spoke, all of Bnei Yisrael heard this. Mishum hachi, and from this, b'pasha zu lo haya efshalama b'pasha ka'asher haya techila. From this, it was not possible here. Lo haya efshalama shaka asher haya techila imkain lo hayu yodim haperush ad. Okay, that's what it says. It wasn't possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to first say the pasha exactly in God's words and afterwards give the perush. That's what the Netziv says here. The imkain, because if so, lo hayu yodim haperush ad acha kama sha'ot. They wouldn't hear the perush because they couldn't hear Moshe's voice. They could hear God's voice, but they couldn't hear Moshe's voice. They wouldn't hear the perush until after a number of hours. Ad acha kama sha'ot. I'm on line 24. Sheyilamdu hazakenim v'yomar lahem. After he had time to teach the perush to the zakenim, and they in turn would tell Bnei Yisrael, uvein ko yuchal liyot sheyisperu ezesh shibush. And in the meantime, they might understand the words of the Torah mistakenly. And apparently, Hashem and Moshe did not want to even let 3 or 4 hours pass, or 5 hours, that somebody should have a mistaken understanding of the Torah. Why do I find that interesting? If you remember back with the Rambam, first Moshe taught the halacha and the perush, and then Aharon taught the halacha and the perush, and then Elazar and Itamar taught the halacha and the perush, and then the shivim zakenim. So years ago, when I was first learned this Rambam, you know, in my youth, enthusiasm but I believed, this proves that there's creativity in Torah, because at that time I didn't see where the room was for creativity. I says, but you see, a new person has to come in and teach the Torah. It was a public affair. It was a communal thing. It wasn't just Moshe Rabbeinu. I said to myself, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just teach the Torah? I was there. Which Rebbe would I go to? I mean, I want to sit in on Moshe Shear. Maybe send a tape to Aaron Shear, right? Well, Itamana Elazar. But I want to hear Moshe. And no, the answer is, that what were you going to say? Because Moshe got tired? That's not a good answer. Moshe didn't get tired after 40 years. He wasn't finished when God took him away from us. Still was strong, Torah tells us. So, it had to be that, first of all, you had to hear the Torah from somebody else. Well, because he had to get it out, right? And secondly, yes, there was room for creativity, but you'll see there was room because I want the Torah to be taught ultimately by Shivim Zakenim, by the 70 elders. The Torah is not going to be the province of one person, but they've all got to hear it accurately. I can't let 4 hours go by here without having a mistake, and to let them get the wrong idea. So, is there creativity in Torah? Yes, I would have to argue from the Rambam's rendition of how, which is based on the Gemara in, I believe, Erevin, there is, of course, there's creativity. It's a communal thing. The Torah is taken by somebody who is properly schooled in it, and he hands it on to the next generation. But, nevertheless, you can see how careful Moshe was. He couldn't allow one mistake. So what's the story? Let's go on here in the Netziv, and we're nearly finished with it. Uveshiva, I lost my concentration here. Right, let's go to line 23 just to get back into it. The imkain lo hayu yodim haperush ad acha kama sha'ot yilamdu azakenim v'yomalahem uvein ko yuchal liyot shiyisparu eza shibush. Okay. V'shibashta kevan de ol ol. And if you had a mistake, then it's there. It sort of sits, it doesn't go away so fast. It sort of sits in the mind. It gels in there. Mishum hachi, and therefore, line 26, Haya Moshe techila medaber lezakeinim. So Moshe would first talk to the zakeinim, ha-pasha im ha-peirush. He would teach them the text with the peirush right on the spot, v'yachakach haya omer ha-pasha l'chol Yisrael. Then Moshe Rabbeinu would teach the pasha to all of Israel, v'tekef u'miyad, and immediately afterwards, hayu ha-zakeinim mefarshim li-Yisrael. The zakeinim already knew the peirush, they knew the correct understanding of the text. They were already circulating among B'nai Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the Torah, they got it. They got the correct understanding of the Torah Shebichtav, Ba'al Peh, from the Shivim Zakeinim. Mishum hachi. No. Masha ein kein, acha matan Torah. This was not the case after matan Torah. Haya Moshe medaber ha-pasha l'chod Yisrael. Because then Moshe Rabbeinu would say the Pasha directly to all of Yisrael, v'tekech u'miyad hayam afaresh lahem, and then he would give the perush to them, and therefore, oh, and what, I don't know why we didn't read it, maybe I skipped it, or it's going to come, I must have not stressed it, but after Matan Torah, when Moshe spoke, for whatever reason, after Matan Torah, Moshe didn't have to worry that the Perush would be divorced from the text. So it fits in beautifully. So now you see, when Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in his tent and he taught to Elazar and Itamar and then to Aaron and to his sons and then to the Zakenim, you see how Moshe in detail transmitted the Torah to these people in a way that they would all understand that everybody heard it four times. And yet they didn't all hear it four times from Moshe or from any one group, and it became the property, so to speak, of Am Yisrael. And that fits in beautifully with this Netziv, where you have the order of the words, the words that we have, Dabel B'nai Yisrael V'yamat Aleihem, switched around. And you also have learned that there's a technical meaning when it says Dabel al B'nai Yisrael V'yamat Aleihem. Daber Eila Hadavarim Asheta Daber. When you speak, you're going to speak these words, Eilu Hadavarim, these specific words, and you're not going to change them. The next shiur that we will continue this discussion then continues on for your understanding. On page 21, we are going to stop at this point. I'll just let you know where I was going. This particular Gemara discusses the nature of Torah Sheba'al Peh versus Torah Shebichtav. It amplifies on some of the things I've said, but it actually takes it a step further. And then, because it's such a cryptic Gemara, they're arguing which is greater, Rove. And what do you mean by the word Rove? Is it Torah Sheba'al Peh? Or is the Torah Shebichtav the Rov, which is greater in quantity or greater in quality? And it's very difficult to understand what they're arguing about. And then we have the Maharal, who attempts to explain it, and is probably the best perush on this page of the Gemara, that certainly that I know of. And with that, we're going to say Kaddish.